But you wouldn't know this if you listening today to any mainstream media. All across the West, the stuff that passes these days. For the free press, from conservative to liberal, it's just a lot of bunk. As I listen, I just wonder who believes this junk. But then, like someone said, repeat falsehoods enough. You can get folks thinking all kinds of stupid stuff, like what I heard this morning about the Hormuz Strait. You'd never know this war was started by the United States. You'd never know the US was the one that violated the memorandum, where it was very clearly stated that Iran would make arrangements for ships along their borders, that they'd be proceeding under Iranian orders. They say there was confusion on the air and in my feed. 14 points would seem to be too much for them to read. How do you know they're lying or just trying to deceive? To provide the propaganda so you know what to believe. Wherever you may be, at home or tune into NPR. They say they're trading strikes, whatever that's supposed to mean. Hearing this reporting, it's impossible to glean that the US started this war and the US broke the peace. That the US is the aggressor here, and if these wars might ever cease, it will be because the politicians and the press aren't controlled by corporations and other governments, no less. When we have actual freedom for the media, we'll know and we'll all wonder how we got this far into the shit show. How do you know they're lying or just trying to deceive? To provide the propaganda so you know what to believe. Wherever you may be, at home or in your car, it's when you turn on your radio. Tune into NPR. But the world war is on, started by the USA.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, over the weekend, members of the Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network took to the streets to demand this country, Canada, withdraw from NATO and cancel the planned NATO war bank. Their call takes on added urgency as our international banker prime minister moves the economy towards a war footing, making perpetual war the key to an expanding financial future, or so Mark Carney and his liberals hope. A growing number, however, see their plans as less a road to prosperity than a daylight theft from the public purse in the service of private power, a certain path to moral and national bankruptcy. Dr. Tamara Lawrence is a fellow with the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute and member of Canadian Voice of Women for Peace. She's also served on the advisory committee of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and two, contributes her knowledge and talents to World Beyond War and the No to NATO Network. And she's also a renowned disruptor of Canada's public-facing servants of war. Welcome back to the program, Tamara.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris.
Well, it's my great pleasure, of course. Now, Tamara, you were out in Toronto with CWJN for the Canada Out of NATO demos. How did it go?
Well, we had a really good crowd. It was organized by a coalition of groups, including the Canadian Voice of Women for Peace, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom Canada, Code Pink, Socialist Action, the Canadian-Cuban Friendship Association, and Hands Off Iran. And we were outside of the U.S. consulate in downtown Toronto, and we had our big banners, Canada out of NATO, NATO is a war machine, NATO is a climate criminal. And we talked about the need for Canada to be a neutral country and a country of peace. And we also talked about the statement that was issued just before the NATO summit in Ankara, the Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network. All of our groups are members of this network, you know, released a statement calling for Canada to withdraw from the U.S.-led military alliance. And we sent that press release to all of the media across the country. In Toronto last Saturday, we also postered all of Toronto, all over the city. We had our big signs for our rally, Canada out of NATO. So we're really trying to to amplify our message, to get it out far and wide that Canada needs to get out of this US-led alliance that is driving up our military spending, and it's leading us to a global war. So it's we were really, you know, pleased to have this this rally with a number of different groups. And of course, we called for hands off Iran and hands off Cuba. And one of the things that impacted our rally in Toronto, though, was the smoke from the forest fires up in northern Ontario. So Toronto has been blanketed this past week with smoke, and you couldn't see the sun. And, it was toxic smoke in many ways. So that had a somewhat of an impact on our turnout, but still people felt so compelled, you know, to want to come out to send a message that we want Canada out of this military alliance, because the outcomes of the NATO summit are so terrible. So yeah, and then also just to think of making the connections between the climate crisis and all of these wars that are fossil fuel powered. The weapon systems that NATO uses run on fossil fuel, and so we were making the links between the climate crisis, the smoke from the forest fires, and how we should be spending on action on global warming to reduce emissions instead of investing in weapon systems that are going to make the climate crisis even worse.
Well, in the release, the CWPJN release, it says, in part, in response to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization summit in Ankara, Turkey, the Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network is calling for Canada to withdraw from the U.S.-led military alliance and to cancel plans to establish NATO's war bank, the Defense, Security, and Resilience Bank, otherwise known DSRB. Why, Tamara, in response to the NATO summit, what was it about the Ankara summit that is so motivating, or is there something extra motivating about that?
So just to connect with the comments that I've just made about the climate crisis and how this NATO alliance is exacerbating global warming and war. At the NATO summit in Ankara, NATO had a defense investment forum. So it had representatives from 100 weapons manufacturers there, and they announced $50 billion in defense procurement. And many of these weapon systems run on fossil fuel, such as warships and tanks and missile launchers and armed drones, surveillance systems, and during this NATO summit, there was extreme heat in Europe. The WHO, the World Health Organization, the United Nations said that just this summer alone in Europe, there's been 10,000 excess deaths from extreme heat in Europe because of the climate crisis. But in Ankara at the NATO summit, the allies and the NATO Secretary General said nothing about dealing with the climate crisis. So the real security threat that is faced by Europeans as well, we've been experiencing, like I said, out of control forest fires in North America, toxic smoke, drought, heat waves here in North America. NATO is making it all worse, diverting resources away from climate action into these petroleum-powered weapon systems. And so there was no statements by any of the NATO officials about dealing with the climate crisis that's, you know, directly impacting citizens in these NATO countries. And the other thing is, the NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, in his closing press conference, talked about NATO spending another $45 billion over the next year to upgrade its oil and gas infrastructure and expand a pipeline to the Baltic states in order to prepare for potential war with Russia. And that's how Politico described it in their article about this. So NATO is you know, not just a weapons machine ramping up weapons production, but it's also very much dependent and fueling oil and gas infrastructure that's contributing to this climate crisis. And the pipeline was a major announcement at the summit. And, you know, wanting to continue this war in Ukraine instead of trying to end it, which is, you know, which is extremely dangerous. We should be very concerned about the outcomes of this NATO summit, because so much of our money is going to be going to weapons and to this war making. And then some, if I can just also speak briefly about the NATO War Bank, 2 weeks before the NATO summit, our Prime Minister Mark Carney, as along with the Prime Minister of Luxembourg, Luc Frieden, published an op-ed in the Financial Times about the need for a, and the headline is, the need for a NATO war bank can ensure a credible deterrence. And so our Prime Minister is pushing the a NATO war bank, the Defense Security and Resilience Bank, to be to ramp up this weapons production, to provide low cost financing to small, medium weapons manufacturers, to, you know, to scale up production of new weapon systems. And so it's extremely concerning. We're going to see a greater trade in weapons, and this inevitably leads to conflict. It's causing a lot of concern, you know, for Russia and for China, of course, and for Iran, and so these are terrible outcomes. And this is why we're trying to make the case for Canada to get out of NATO.
Well, it's said that only a fool fights in a burning house, and it seems the house is burning. Doug Ford, as you talked about Toronto being under a pall of forest fire smoke, it is revealed how the Ford administration in Ontario has cut back on firefighting expenditures. People in other jurisdictions are cutting back their budgets in other ways that support the people, because the money is being diverted. In your art, in the release, the CWPGAN release, you note the expenditure increases in Canada's defense. Military spending has increased from $23 billion per annum in 2015 to $63 in 2025, and it's set to go up much higher than that, as high as $159 billion if Canada is to meet the 5% pledge that we've made to NATO. Why we would do that is something we talked about the last time. But it points us in a direction. And it's not only the operation of these war machines, but the building of them, the smelting of steel, and all the other activities that go into creating this huge devotion, this industrial devotion to ultimately warfare and destruction, is also a climate hazard in its own right. But two, the destruction, as we're seeing in the conflict in Russia and Ukraine, of targeted refineries. What, Tamara, about the release of all of these hydrocarbons at once, as they are when these refineries are blown up with drones and missiles?
So it's catastrophic impacts for the environment, not just for climate change, but for pollution in the airshed, the particulates in the lower atmosphere, the air that people are breathing, you know, from all of this war making, all of this environmental destruction from the burning of these, from the bombing of these, and drone strikes of Russia and Ukraine's oil and gas infrastructure. So it's really devastating environmental and climate impacts, and this is why it's so crucial to end this war. But in this war in Ukraine. But instead, what we're seeing is, you know, Canada very much with the other NATO allies prolonging this war. So Canada in the past 4 years has spent $25.8 billion for military and financial aid to Ukraine to keep this war going. And at the summit in Ankara, our prime minister announced another $2.8 billion over this next year for Ukraine, and an extension on Operation Unifier. This is the training operation by our Canadian Armed Forces of Ukrainian soldiers, and then also an extension to Operation Reassurance. This is the Canadian Armed Forces in Latvia. And so it's very costly, it's very carbon intensive, it's very environmentally destructive, and it's being continued instead of ended. The other thing to note about all of this military spending that I think it's really important to consider is that the weapons production and the arms trade is one of the most corrupt sectors of the economy. And there is no doubt going to be a lot of corruption, a lot of padding of the pockets from all of this money going to the military. And there's a lack of oversight of all of this spending, not only in Canada, but among all of the NATO allies. And last spring, there was a big corruption scandal in NATO procurement from all of these contracts under the NATO umbrella in Luxembourg. And there wasn't very much mainstream media attention about this, but no doubt we are going to see a lot of corruption. And so Canadians should be really concerned that our public tax dollars are not being spent wisely and carefully and with adequate oversight. And our Prime Minister, Mark Carney, you know, a former banker, is really complicit, is creating the conditions for mass corruption from these weapons contracts. And just in the past year, the NATO allies increased their military spending by $139 billion. So just consider the 32 countries of NATO spending so much money on their militaries instead of investing in affordable housing, healthcare, education, climate action, environmental protection that we all so desperately need.
Yeah, well, I think it would be a mistake to think of corruption in these terms as being outliers. The whole project is corruption. The whole project is a way, in my view, and not just my view, but Julian Assange talked about this, how the war in Afghanistan was actually more just about money laundering and recycling public funds into private hands, into the pockets of the arms industry and the other various corporations, but also the politicians that are in the revolving door between industry that take payments on both sides. How much, Tamara, do we know of that money that you mentioned that has been the Canadian monies that have been devoted already into this Ukrainian fiasco? How much of it is earmarked, like how much of it actually never left the country, but filled the pockets of war profiteers in this country?
Well, that's a good question. And it's a question that we can't actually answer because there's been no auditing of this money. So we sent a letter to Canada's federal auditor, the Office of the Auditor General, and asked if an audit had been done in the past 4 years on all of this money that has gone from Canada to Ukraine. And the Office of the Auditor General replied to us and said that no audit has been done. So we are actually working on a campaign right now to demand an audit. And I think it's appalling, quite honestly, that none of the parliamentarians have called for an audit of this money, because it's not just the money that's gone to Ukraine, but also all of the weapons that have gone to Ukraine. And there's evidence, even the New York Times has reported that there's evidence of of weapons going onto the black market and potentially to other terrorist or paramilitary groups, and this is illegal under the Arms Trade Treaty. Canada is signed and ratified the Arms Trade Treaty in 2019, and we have obligations to oversee how our weapons are being used, where they're going, and there isn't that kind of oversight of the weapons, and there has been no oversight of all of this money that's gone to Ukraine. And so Canadians should be extremely concerned. And Chris, you made this point that Julian Assange said that the war in Afghanistan, which ran from 2001 to 2021, was a money laundering scheme. Well, when the war in Afghanistan winded down in the fall of 2021, remember August 2021 is when NATO forces were forced to leave the country. Well, what did we see in the fall of 2021? A ramping up of weapons going into Ukraine, and then the war breaks out. And the war in Ukraine is a NATO proxy war planned, provoked, and prosecuted by the U.S. and its NATO allies. And then, what we see after the war in Afghanistan winds down, a ramping up and escalation of this war in Ukraine to continue the money laundering, right? So moving the money out of the tax bases of the NATO countries, through these conflict zones and then back into the pockets of the military industrial complex and in the banking elite. And Carney is very much part of this, and he knows what's going on. And if Carney really cared about Canadians and the Canadian economy, he wouldn't be spending so much on the military, because it's not good for the economy. We know this from the Parliamentary Budget Officer. All of this military spending Canada is going to see over the next 9 years to get to the 5% target is going to mean money going to weapons which are not useful for society, for the economy. We're going to see higher debt to GDP ratios. We're going to see greater national deficits and more national debt. So it's really bad for the economy. And it's not good, of course, for Canadians and for the rest of the world. The last thing that other countries need are Canadian weapons. And Ukrainians themselves want the war to end. But the weapons manufacturers and the bankers don't want the war in Ukraine to end. So we need Canadians joining us and calling for the war in Ukraine to end. No NATO war bank and no to the NATO 5% GDP target. And for Canada to get out of this alliance.
Yeah, amen. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking to Dr. Tamara Lawrence. Tamara is a fellow with the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute, a member of Canadian Voice of Women for Peace, and she served on the Advisory Committee of Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and works too with World Beyond War. That's an outfit you should look up. And No to NATO Network as well here in Canada. We're fast running out of time, Tamara, but I wonder, Trump has famously, we're hearing it on the CBC, we don't hear a contextual angle on it that I'd like to see, that the forest fires you mentioned are damaging America, and that this is a reason that Canada should be tariffed further, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder, Tamara, if this isn't a great opportunity to divert Canadian money that has been devoted to defense into firefighting as a defense, as a an aid to our resilience, so to speak, as the DSRB bank would have it. How about that? How about diverting our defense spending in other ways and calling, say, fire preparation and response defense, as it is in the truest form, defense of the nation?
Chris, I absolutely agree with you, and we've been calling for that for many years. We need natural defense, not national defense. We need investments in forest firefighters and water bombers and climate action. We have many Canadians living in housing without air conditioning. We have Indigenous communities in Northern Ontario, their communities burnt down. They were not prepared. We need better emergency preparedness. And we need Indigenous indigenous wisdom as part of how we can have a better plan to deal with the climate crisis, to prepare ourselves for extreme weather events. The indigenous people have asked for, they have the wisdom, they have the knowledge to deal with these extreme weather events, but they need greater investment in their communities. And the Ford government and the Carney government need to step up and deal with the climate crisis, because this is one of the greatest security challenges that Canadians are facing, along with the poverty crisis. So that's why we say Canada out of NATO, no to the 5% GDP target, and we need to invest in our communities to prepare for climate change and to invest in the security needs of Canadians, healthcare, education, affordable housing, things like that.
Peaceandjusticenetwork.ca. Go there to find out more about what Tamara and her fellows are up to. Thanks a lot, Tamara Lawrence, for coming on again to talk with us about a little bit about Canada's downward path. And remember to resist NATO, resist the Defense Security and Resilience Bank, so-called, and other schemes to take the money out of your pocket and hand it to the military-industrial complex that is causing so much destruction across the world to people and nature. Thanks a lot, Tamara, for coming on again, eh?
Thank you very much, Chris.
And I want to also thank Dorothea Gucciardo there with glia.org. It's glia.org. Check that out. They're doing amazing work in Gaza and in other places too. That's all I got for this week. Till the next time.
It's a history about a certain country, one that parks its fighter jets on every patch of land it gets. Some government to agree to give up their sovereignty and attract the fire of the enemies of empire. One that projects power from the ivory towers, playing the great game at the brink of a world in flames, risking it all to control everything, whatever the toll on its hapless subjects. But here's what to expect: if you host U.S. military bases, you do well never to forget your country is a military target. If you fell for the story with poetic allegories or all the nonsense you were fed, all the stuff the Americans said about the rules-based order that would protect your borders. But what if the U.S. attacks and your neighbor fights back? If you host U.S. military bases, you do well never to forget your country is a military target. They wanted them for a reason, because it's long been open sea on Persian civilization, so they want bases in the nations that surround Russia, China, Iran as part of their imperial plan to dominate the world and use you to help them with it too. If you host U.S. military bases, you do well never to forget your country is a military target. If you host U.S. military bases, you do well never to forget your country is a military target. Your country is a military target.
Moscow, Tokyo, New York, Guerrilla Radio is everywhere, everywhere, all the time.
Chicago, Jakarta, Helsinki,
you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. We are rooted in community support and engagement. Thank you for helping us stay on air.
The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is now live to help victims and survivors get vital social and emergency services. If you need help or want to help stop human trafficking, call 1-833-900-1010.